High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright. Palo Alto, Malibu. This is all we want to do. I'm at the high school, baby, young, young. I'm at the high school, baby, young, young. I'm at the high school, baby, young, young.
You're up. How'd you sleep? Isn't it great to, you know, wake up from a slumber party and breakfast is already being made for you? Did you wake up to that smell of pancakes? I hope so. Thank you for stopping by yesterday and enjoying part one of our discussion of 16 Candles and being the only people to acknowledge and celebrate the birthday of High School Slumber Party with me. Of course, I imagine if you're listening right now, you did listen to yesterday's part one, and you're happy again to wake up at my house, because this is High School Slumber Party, special birthday bonus episode, and part two of our 16 Candles discussion. We'll get to that discussion later with Jenny O'Connell, but right now, enjoy yourself. You're in your PJs. There's no homework today. We're just having fun. We're just chilling. We're just enjoying this beautiful, beautiful spring day. And we're just going to eat some pancakes. Who could that be?
Oh, I've been walking and smelling and... Is this pancakes?
It's the foodie films man himself, Kyle Reintree. You joined us for our slumber party. It's a Saturday morning. Thank you for coming over.
Oh, this is a slumber... Oh. I smelled breakfast foods and my nose did not wrong me. those are some pancakes.
How much percentage, and maybe you're just this, maybe you haven't, but how much percentage is smell in... taste? Because, like, I know it's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know the exact percentage. I just always know that Billy, how do you pronounce his name? He's going to be the new Timon from Parks and Rec. Billy Eichner.
Oh, yeah. Just, I know exactly what
he's
about.
Just
Sorry.
Like, I have no smell. What kind of man is, like, you know, like, taste is 90% of smell.
Isn't it amazing that, like, how many seasons was he on Parks and Rec for?
Two.
Two, maybe, right?
Yeah, I just want. Yeah, I think it's.
And his
yeah.
character is essentially himself, but it was amazing. It fit
I
in so
love
well.
Billy on the Street. That's Billy just like. Street? I would love to come up with some kind of segment for Foodie Films that's like that. And since Foodie Films does video, FYI.
I'll ask you this, Kyle Reintree to Foodie Films, and this is not a plug. This is just me talking with my friend. Whatever you've accomplished in your life, if you could trade that for just like a Billy Eichner role of just the Billy on the Street kind of character, would you trade it?
Wait, what am I trading?
Like, Foodie Films Podcast doesn't exist. Every episode gets deleted.
And I get a Billy...
Not his, like, true TV show.
Okay.
You get, like, a popular web show where you're just asking people questions.
No, I love my Foodie Films too much.
Nice.
I've had too many...
You'd rather not make money.
Met too many... great people through Foodie Films so far, and we just keep on flipping them pancakes.
So, you bring up a good point, because we're eating our pancakes, we're having our breakfast.
So, did I miss the slumber party? Is this the breakfast post-slumber party?
Yeah, we had our anniversary. No one remembered
Is
our
anniversary?
Yeah, no one remembered our birthday.
Happy anniversary. Or happy
well, thank you. I thought you came over for the anniversary.
No, I came over for the pancakes.
Like a typical Saturday morning.
Yeah. Where's the cartoons? I watch Animaniacs.
I have to ask you, though. Favorite yes. breakfast foods?
I'm from the North Jersey, so Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on a hard roll. SPK, so...
So, like,
That THEC.
Last meal. But for some reason, because of all your crimes that you have actually committed in real life. But for
there's been so many thus far. So this hypothetical is very real.
No. But in all seriousness, let's say you've committed a crime that you're on death row for.
Yeah. And this is a similar question. I'm imagining this right now.
You ask a lot of these questions on Foodie Film, so I felt like I'd turn the table.
Okay.
Wow. But you're getting executed at breakfast time.
Yeah.
What breakfast meal do you have?
All right, so yeah.
It could be brunchish, but... Well, you know already, so sorry.
No. I mean, there's going to be like a bunch of things. Definitely there's going to be a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
Okay. You have to finish everything that's on the plate?
Yeah.
Or someone in your family dies?
Yeah, I'm not going to make an overabundance.
Okay, I was just clarifying.
So I'm going to Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on a hard roll, salt, pepper, ketchup. I want... A good mini everything bagel, because again, I want to finish everything. So a good mini everything bagel with
cream,
like,
cheese, butter.
No,
chives.
Well, cream cheese, lox, capers, tomato, red onion, some kind of Danish. I don't know. Some kind of Danish. Maybe
you're
a
fan of the Denmark people. So
I like
the Danes.
You know, like, you know, a good sawbuck Danish. And I'm trying to think. Oh, my mom makes this really good French toast casserole, so that'd be nice to have something of hers before I get the chair, whatever.
The firing squad, who knows?
The firing squad? What is this, Paths of Glory? Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think there's... Oh,
no eggs? I'm surprised.
That's on the Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
No, but no, like, you know, special prepared egg.
No, I want a fried egg. Like just with like a little, not over easy, over medium, so there's like a little bit like of yolk, but I don't want to, like, I want my beard to be not yolky when I die. Because for some reason I can't wash.
Can you poach an egg?
Yeah.
See, I've never poached an egg myself, but I'm a big fan of Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, poaching, but that's the second hardest part. The hardest part is the hollandaise. But I found a really good recipe that you can actually just do a decent hollandaise in a blender. You just have to, like, it's just about, like, dropping the butter at the right time and the lemon juice. And you just got to, because it's got to be warm, and you got to, like, do it at the right, like, frappe style. And then you got to be ready to put it on the eggs and have it right away. Otherwise, it'll, like, congeal. But I do love Eggs Benny. But, I mean, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you this much with this question.
No, breakfast, I mean, I don't mean to keep quoting Parks and Rec, but, you know, Ron Swanson, breakfast foods, you know, you can't go wrong. Like,
pancakes or waffles?
Or French toast.
No, French toast is out of this argument.
It's out of this argument?
No, I said, like, you can get pancakes or you can get waffles. I love French toast, I love pancakes, I love waffles, but I'm asking you, French toast aside, I just want two options.
Pancakes.
Pancakes? I would agree with you.
You do agree with me.
Yeah, I'm a pancake guy.
Oh, remember the pancakes we got not far from your place? When I helped you move in and I got two meals.
Oh, Brazilian style.
Brazilian style with the bananas and stuff, right?
That's how I know you're like the Foodie Films guy, because I was moving into my apartment and guys, if you've ever moved in somewhere, it's a tough chore. It's not easy. We were moving a lot of stuff in and I was like, oh, let's go out to eat.
Heavy ass pull out couch of yours.
And I remember this. We were like, let's get something to eat. And we pulled up to an Applebee's. And then the lady at Applebee's said, we're closed.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah. On the fucking neighborhood. And the fucking school bus pulls up. And they turn the lights back on for the football team.
I guess you gotta, like, play for, like, a middle school football team or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was high school. I don't know. But I hope it was high school slumber party. Yeah. But... Yeah, so then we went to just like a diner in the area.
It was a good diner.
It was a great diner. I love that diner.
Yeah.
But I remember you were like, I can't choose between two meals.
I don't remember the other one, though. So the pancakes stuck out.
And you're like, I'll just get both.
Yeah, and to like even like the waiter or waitress like questioned me. I was like, wait,
because
both?
It wasn't two like small meals. It was
no, it
two,
was
like,
two plates of food.
Platter-sized plates of food.
Yeah.
I also don't remember the other meal, but clearly the pancakes were the highlight, because it was like Brazilian pancakes.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. Like, I don't know, waffles. Like, I mean, I've had good waffles and everything like that. But I feel like waffles are almost become like more about like what you put on top of it. Like, I would like some fresh.
That's
fruit.
The thing. Waffles are, and I don't mind that because bread is like that too. Cones are like that. But there's certain foods that more, and you would know more than me, but there's certain foods that more catch other foods as sauces. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and so point being, like, if you get really like, if I knew like someone wasn't that good at making something, I'd be like, make me waffles versus pancakes. But if I know I can get the best of either of those, I 100% much more prefer the pancakes.
What's your ideal pancake? I'll ask you that. Because, you know, you can get them crispy, you can get them soft, you can get them small, you can get them big. You can only have one pancake.
I like a solid, I'll say in diameter, probably like 6-7 inches. A little thicker.
We're talking about pancakes or we're talking about...
Oh, wow.
Okay, so 6-7 inches, a little thicker.
Yeah. If there's like a little lemon zest in there, I'm not going to complain.
But do you like it like a soft, fluffy pancake, or do you like it like a crispy?
No, I like a soft, fluffy.
Okay.
But you got to be careful, because then sometimes it'll be like, I don't know, like soggy. I don't know how, like the batter.
No, because
the batter won't be like
too
fully
soft
cooked or too
it's
soft.
No.
Yeah.
Soft might even be harder than crispy.
That's what she said. I don't know what that means.
I love how that's what she said. We were talking about like 6 and 7 inches.
7 inches. Like an inch thick.
And that's okay. But once we get to crispy, that's what she said. Whatever.
Yeah.
No, because like my grandmother, bless her soul, used to make like pancakes that were arguably too oily.
Ooh.
But, you know, nostalgia, I really like them.
Okay.
So now a fluffy pancake I like.
Yeah.
But I don't have the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
And they're different, you know, different parts of the country make different consistency of pancake, which is amazing.
Sure.
I don't like too fluffy. Because it feels like I'm eating air. And,
yeah.
And for that, like you said, it's more about the syrup and the toppings.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, fluffy, but also, like, there needs to be, like, a density to it. Like, just like a good old plate of flapjacks.
Now, this is a good question. Would you rather have two very large size pancakes, or like a 10 stack of like silver dollar pancakes?
That would be too, I don't like that. That would look like too much, even if it like,
but you know, some people like that.
Yeah. No, I just like, to me, like ideal is like, depending on again, like the diameter, 2 or like 3 at the most. There's so many times I have cravings for chocolate chip pancakes, and then I get them, and I'm like, that's way too much, like, with the chocolate chips.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
Because I also like putting syrup on it, and I'm just like, no. Like, even that, like, that's, like, sugary, sensory overload. And also, I've joined Weight Watchers. I don't know if I've made this
one of the sponsors of your show.
Yes. And Oprah! I don't know why I did that. but yes, but so I don't know if that announcement's even been made on Foodie Films yet, so that's an exclusive. You're welcome. But nonetheless, that would just be way too much. Like, so yeah, pancakes every day, all day. If we get into a pancake French toast debate, like, I don't know, that gets tough. Because there's some, like, really, because even then, French toast, like, I think each of them in artisanal sense and like, the amount of ingredients you can start putting in gets crazier from waffles to pancakes to French toast.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes sometimes it's more of a canvas.
Yes.
For the ingredients, as we're discussing. And sometimes it's more adds things to the breakfast. But I'll ask you this. This is High School Slumber Party, as
yes,
you know.
It is.
It's our birthday special that
happy
you
birthday.
Didn't even know about.
No, I didn't. Thanks for the pancakes.
We, and not just me, because I wasn't really a proponent of this, but I know other people more had this debate with you actually in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
I was a
kid.
Master debater.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Powder room. I'm not allowed to say that.
It's anyway. Fine.
No, but you wake up. It's a Wednesday morning, you're in high school.
Uh-huh.
Brush your teeth before breakfast or after? Because this was always something you were adamant about.
I rarely eat breakfast.
Okay, but this is high school. Mama makes you pancakes. Mama makes you waffles.
After? Because I thought... Wait, you're like, this is something you're quoting me?
Yes, because in high school, you were very much a proponent of after. And then I remember you debating people, like our mutual friend Dan Ferrara, who is on...
I don't remember that. I guess my was my argument toothpaste and orange juice?
Yes, stuff like that. Like, okay. You eat, you have that in you,
yeah.
And then you brush, and you go...
Oh, he's saying he wants to, like, keep the flavor in there?
No, I feel like most people wake up, brush their teeth, then eat breakfast.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
But
taste...
you said you were different because you said you would eat breakfast then brush your teeth, and that makes a lot of sense.
It does because you're then not only are you cleaning like you know what's been going on in your mouth from the night before, but breakfast too. I get you might want to like I don't know, and then still you can still have a cup of coffee afterwards, but I don't know. Yeah, it just didn't make sense to me. I think the biggest thing with me is I don't want a minty flavor before I'm having whatever, like, I'm not having anything minty for breakfast. Yeah, especially the OJ. And then fucking drinking OJ. Ugh!
I want to thank you for being such a frequent guest on High School Slumber Party. You know, most recently you were on Rushmore, but you've been on plenty of episodes. You once rated Encino Man a 5 out of 5 stars, so to you, Encino
I'm going to stand by that. I know at one point I started I'm just going to stand by that. Because actually I watched Son-in-Law again recently, and while, like, I think I said I thought that might be, like, his best-made movie. Not Encino Man. It's just, like, Pauly Shore. It's just, like, we've got the 5 major food groups. And, but, yeah, no, thanks for always having me. I mean, we're in the shit together.
That'll make sense, guys, if you listen to the Rushmore episode.
Yeah, listen to Rushmore. We did not serve in Vietnam together.
No. Maybe in a past life.
We just covered a foodie scene from a Vietnam movie from Apocalypse Now. Fucking mangoes, man.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, that's not even, like, probably my top 10 Apocalypse
Actually,
Now
we talked
scenes.
Two scenes. The latest episode with Nick Solores, writer, TV host, deviant, meat connoisseur. But two of his favorite food scenes are from Apocalypse Now with the roast beef and prawns, which is just a great dichotomy of, like, American.
Is that when he's
American
like, I was a saucier?
That's, no, saucier is the mangoes. They're going out. The roast beef and prawns is when, I'm totally forgetting his name, but Martin Sheen's character is getting the assignment. Young Harrison Ford's in the scene, and like his cap.
Oh yeah,
his captain's like roast beef. You know, is like usually pretty good, and we got the whether he says prawn or shrimp. But point being, they're the headed shrimp, so it's very foreign. So it's just like roast beef, American shrimp, foreign. Just like great metaphor for you know.
Now we have a pretty good following in Australia on High School Slumber Party.
Yeah, down under.
And I laugh because in America we always say shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah,
but shrimp isn't even a word in Australia.
Oh.
They just call them prawns.
Isn't there...
That was a commercial made for Americans.
Yeah, well, I always thought Subaru was a Australian car company.
You know what? I have to say, most of what we know about Australia comes from Paul Hogan.
And thank you, Paul Hogan.
So you look like you're having fun. You look like you're eyeing all my pancake breakfasts. Are you going to stick around for the episode?
Well, I'm looking at this lovely spread you have, and I'm like, what's happening, hot stuff, to the steaming pancakes? But I have to, unfortunately, not even eat and run. I'm going to make a little doggy bag for myself. I got some foodie film stuff I got to attend to, but nonetheless, I enjoy part 2 of 16 Candles. Molly Ringwald, that lovely ginger that she is.
You're not a big fan of the gingers, are you?
I know. I like them occasionally.
I'm just kidding. No, I wish you could stick around, but I totally understand. It's breakfast time. You probably have a brunch reservation somewhere.
Yes. I have many brunch dates. So I'm going to pull a classic, Three's a Company. You know, kind of move John Ritter jumping around from party to party, breakfast, brunch date to brunch date.
Something weird about Three's Company, and I love Three's Company, though the fucking plot is the same every time.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It's great television.
There was a misunderstanding. Regardless, though, you should cover some Three's Company. I know you won't, but theoretically, if you did a TV version... Because he's a chef on the show.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe a season or something like that. We'll have to.
But it's super
seasoning
funny
of a season.
Because a lot of episodes end with like him theoretically attacking his roommates. He's like playing around attacking, but he like jumps on them on like the couch.
Jumps, yeah, flips, like, flips women over that aren't wearing any bras. It's horrible.
You seem like a Suzanne Somers guy.
100%.
I was more Joyce DeWitt, but.
No, Suzanne Somers, even Step by Step. Oh my God, what a MILF. Oh my God, can I say that? We talked American Pie. MILF. MILF. MILF.
Well, thank you so much, Kyle, for even stopping by and eating my pancakes.
Anytime. Need some syrup.
Wow, that was a fun, pleasant surprise. You know what that is? That's just two friends talking. And of course, you can check out Kyle on Foodie Films and also the podcast we share together, P.S. I Love Hoffman. Both of those are found on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me or wherever you get your podcasts. Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever. You know, you're listening to this one, so you know how to get podcasts. Hello? Are you there? Did you fall asleep? God, I know we rambled on about pancakes and such, but this is Saturday morning. This is supposed to be the most fun time of your week. And you're here at the high school slumber party. And I thank you for that. And I want to really say from the bottom of my heart how important you slumberers are to me. You know, this is a year doing this. Sometimes it's not the easiest, believe it or not. I mean, the talking about films and the watching films. Trust me, I do that all the time. But I got a life to live, just like you have a life to live. And sometimes it's hard to squeeze all the things in the week. You know how it gets. Things get hectic. But I never ever think I'm going to stop doing this or I want to stop doing this or it's not worth it. I don't care if one of you guys are listening or a million. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but you know, a larger amount than one. As long as somebody's listening, it gives a little bit more meaning in my life, as sad as that is. Maybe no one's listening at all. I don't know. But I really, really, really appreciate you taking out the little time in your day or week, or even month if you're binging, you know, I guess what, like an hour or 2 hours a week, just to hear me ramble with my friends about something I love, high school films. I don't have the words to express how much I appreciate you guys, really. I'm trying, but I'm probably doing a really shitty job at it. Anyway, thanks for coming by. We're going to talk about 16 Candles, but I just, you know, I'm just so thankful. And another, like, you know, thing I'm really thankful for are the guests who come on High School Slumber Party. Some of them I've just met for the first time. Some of them are really close friends, like Kyle, and like today's guest, Jenny O'Connell. And we continue our discussion here on 16 Candles. Hope you guys enjoy it. It's a great film, but it's a polarizing one. And today it's a little bit strange. But if you disagree about anything we're saying, please share it with me. Email, highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I want to hear your opinion, guys. It's super, super important. So, without further ado, you already have your jammies on. And remember to thank your mother for letting you sleep over Brian's. Especially because in the United States, it is Mother's Day. So don't forget to thank your mother. Like, I can't say enough about my mother's own role in getting me into high school films. She's the one who told me to watch 16 Candles, so happy Mother's Day. Anywho, let's get to the podcast, the, you know, the official part of the podcast. I'll take it away with, David Bowie, Young Americans, in this film, which I always forget, by the way. I usually say class dismissed, but let's just hear Jenny and me talk about 16 Candles.
A funny thing, am I still too young? his ring, took his babies, it took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken anything.
All night.
She wants a young American.
The next scene I was going to talk about, though, was the bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ride the bus to school?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. It was not fun. I mean, I didn't really...
So was that accurate? Because I never rode the bus. The bus actually
lived out of
the bus's
lead. I would say it was pretty accurate, but I also... I had, I guess, an advantage that Molly Ringwald didn't of, like, apparently I was pretty intimidating for... I have no idea why, I just wore a lot of black, so I'm like, well, I guess that did it, that did the trick, where, like, I wasn't getting, like, blatantly harassed in the same way that she was, and, like, with the invention of iPods, like, that was a game changer. That was like, yes, I can listen to music. Like, before I had an iPod, I would have my Walkman. So I did the music. I basically was kind of like a pre-New Yorker of, like, you know, just on the subway being like, do not talk to me, I have music. But, like, yeah, it's real terrible, like, once your friend leaves and you're like, oh no, I am trapped on this hell and we have to stop by people's houses. That bus scene, that is flashback city. I will say, though, for, like, just the musical intro to Anthony Michael Hall was really interesting, where I was just like, oh, shit. I guess my thesis with his character can be boiled down to that, like, besides the fact he's a fucking terrible person, it's like, they do these things where they kind of try to play it off and, like, use Anthony Michael Hall's, like, natural, like, dweeby cute thing, like, as being like, oh, look at this little scamp, you know, isn't he pathetic? He can't even hit on Molly Ringwald well. And I'm like, he's clearly disrespecting her boundaries multiple times, like, lots of just, like, unnecessary touching. And, like, she clearly said no, bro. So, like, what the fucking fuck. I mean, she lost me on the usage of the F word, which, you know, I mean, the movie lost me on that. And I get it. Different time where it was like, oh, but this is still icky. Yeah, so I would say that it is accurate. And, like, you know, the entitlement he has is very cringy. And it is a little, like, unsettling that that gets played for comedy. I would say if, like, anyone's interested in a better, like, more in-depth look on that subject alone, there's a really good YouTube channel, Pop Culture Detective, that does a whole video on, like, geeky masculinity. It's great. I don't want to, like, plagiarize all of their shit, but check them out. Am I allowed to do that on a podcast?
I pictured him, Farmer Ted, Anthony Michael Hall, whatever his name is, in this. I pictured him as, like, growing up to be, like, one of those Silicon Valley guys who are really bad. You know,
oh,
like,
I could definitely Silicon Valley see that. Bros. Yeah, I'd say, like, Silicon Valley bro. I'm not sure who would be the future Brett Kavanaugh, to be honest. Like, him or Jake Ryan. I feel like they both would be accurate. And, like, I probably just kill, like, shrank a lot of boners for Jake Ryan by putting him with Brett Kavanaugh, but, like, the comparison is there and I can link it.
We'll be right back.
gone?
How's what going?
You know, things, life, whatnot.
Life is not whatnot, and it's none of your business.
So you going to New Faces dance tonight, or?
It's also none of your business.
Are you inhibited about dancing in public? I mean, you don't have to dance. I mean, you can just stand there and me and my dudes and just be you. I mean,
sounds major.
So, I mean, what's the story? I mean, you got a guy or?
Yes, three big ones and they lust for wimp blood. So quit bugging me or I'll stick them all over your weenie ass.
You know, I'm getting input here that I'm reading is relatively hostile. I mean, it's just.
Go to hell.
Very hostile. Come on, what's the problem here? I'm a boy, you're a girl. Is there anything wrong with me trying to put together some kind of relationship between us? Okay, okay, I know you have to go. Just answer me one question.
Yes, you're a total fag.
I mean, there was also something that, like, I'm sure we can address in little moments too, but like Joan Cusack's like neck brace, like I felt like her juxtaposition was really interesting and maybe I was like reading into it too much. Again, like the whole thing with this film is like Molly Ringwald feels like, or sorry, I should not say Molly Ringwald because I don't know how she felt during that. I will go and use her character's name from now on when talking about the plot. Sorry about that. But, like, Sam feels like she's invisible and unattractive because she doesn't have this, like, specific body and, like, isn't dating anyone. So it's, like, her feelings are very valid with that. But, like, when you step back and you look at the movie, you're like, she's really pretty. And, like, she's really, like, she's got, like, a good sense of fashion, like, you know, she seems like a lovely person, you know, like, so there's this weird, I don't know, like, juxtaposition, like, with the neck brace girl that, like, Anthony Michael Hall, like, immediately, like, kind of just does not go to, like, harassing neck brace girl, where I'm like, oh, man, there's, like, this weird sort of able body juxtaposition that it's like, oh, if you're pretty, you should be getting harassed because it means you're pretty and people do want to date you. But if you're, you know, like neck brace freak, you know, again, this might be way too much of me reading into it because like I know I didn't have a neck brace, but I did have knee surgery in high school. So I was very self-conscious whenever I had to have like crutches, like my first day of school I had crutches like to go into school and I was like, oh damn, like everyone's gonna judge me for that, because I guess thinking with like the John Hughes National Lampoon kind of viewpoint, it's like the hot ladies are worthy of our attention and gaze, but like the people who aren't able-bodied or, like, conventionally attractive, like, they don't really merit the same sort of, like, introspection, humanity, or, like, exist to be the butt of the joke about being like, haha, like, you know, she has a neck brace. That's funny.
Yeah, but he has one later.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
But I did. The braces. Yeah, yeah. No, I noticed the headgear, which is, like, slightly different. I mean, still, like, kind of a similar-ish thing when it comes to, like...
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
An orthodontist headgear is very different than a neck brace, as far as, like, medical issues go. So I'm like, ah. So yeah, her character made me very uncomfortable, where I'm like, why... Like, what is her purpose? She's just there to be laughed at and, like, sort of, you know, used as a foil to be like, oh, here's beautiful, able-bodied, you know, like, Sam. And then being like, oh, here's, you know, this freak right here. And I'm like, cute, yeah. Except not at all.
So, you know, moving along, there's... I guess we get our Long Duk Dong introduction, where she's like, he's like, what's happening? Hot stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, and the gong.
And then all the grandparents are there, which does suck.
It does. I mean, just why... why did the grandparents get a foreign exchange student? I know that they were like, oh, he mows the lawn and does all our chores. I'm like, you're not making this better. Like, this doesn't answer all of my questions as to why.
I think it's more weird that they make him call them grandma and grandpa.
Well, that adds layers to it, where I'm like, it's very uncomfortable. Because they also say, like, Chinaman a lot, but he's, like, he's not a Chinese actor, so I'm like...
I think he's supposed to be Korean, and he's played by a Japanese actor.
Yeah, it's a lot of mess to untangle with that, because I'm just like, whew, like, you couldn't even... just match it up slightly. It's you had to just go all over Asia. I feel like that just like broke my brain, honestly, like that part of the movie where I was like, oh, we just like shut it down. I would have just been like, shut it down. Shut down production. Like that dinner scene too, like holy shit, that was uncomfortable, where they're just all at dinner and like talking about quiche. Yeah. And making fun of his like difficulty with the English language, and like, yeah, like the way it was shot too, like it does seem like if, you know, there's someone who wants to, like an Asian writer who wants to team up with Jordan Peele and make like a Get Out 2, but with Asian people, that's a terrible idea. But like, it was kind of like a horror movie perspective.
I don't know. She gets out of the dinner, the awkward dinner, by saying, you know, she has to go to the dance. And they're like, why don't you take Long Duk Dong? He can drive the car.
Mm, yeah.
And I mean, the dance is one of the more pivotal scenes of the entire film. We get our Spandau Ballet.
Yep.
Song, which is big in this film. Again, what an awesome soundtrack. I really like this soundtrack. It's like...
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack's 80s, great.
But it's very,
I mean,
good soundtrack.
I wrote, like, about this scene just starting off, and I didn't even know, like, how much it would descend, but I was like, she really just needs Queer Eye to fix her life, or, like, child services to be like, not today, and take her out of there, and take Long Duk Dong out of there, and be like, why are these, like, elderly folks, you know, abusing you? Because... holy shit. Like, concern. But yeah, the dance had a lot of interesting...
Yeah, a lot
elements.
Of pivotal parts.
Yeah.
Nana did, again, is celebrating her birthday, which sucks. Like, people have still not remembered her birthday at this point. I mean, her friend right. knows because she told her
yeah.
friend.
And, like, her friend is being kind of, like, a dick about it in, like, a very 16-year-old way, where it's like, oh, just get over it. Like, it's fine. And it's like, dude, no. She clearly feels, like, hurt. Let her, you know, feel her feelings. Damn, be a good friend and support her. Like, instead of leaving her alone to, like, you know, have Anthony Michael Hall just be the worst and like invade her space. He has no concept of boundaries. Like, that's just like... Jesus, like, why?
Ted's at the dance and he sees her and he's like bragging to his friends first, and he goes up to her on the bleachers, right, with her friend and that guy, and he's super 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 creepy. But I was honestly like, I was laughing a little bit about the way her friends were treating him, because I think he kind of deserved it. You know?
Oh, he absolutely did. Like, yeah, and he's the worst.
It's funny. It's sad. It's sad, but it's funny.
I mean, I think it's funny in that it's accurate, because, like, he just lacks so much self-awareness and, like, is just going right in there, and you're like... oh God, like that is something I have experienced. And then also conversely, from like her perspective, it's like, I think that like when you're 16 and you haven't really like dated or had relationships, it's very easy to put someone on a pedestal. So it's like, I could see why she was disappointed. If it's like, you're expecting to dance with like hottie Jake Ryan and all you're getting is like Anthony Michael Hall, like grinding up on you and like invading your space, like I would cry too. Like, it was interesting like to see that like vulnerability and like juxtaposition of like that very real experience with like Anthony Michael Hall shenanigans, where I'm like, wow, I have no sympathy for you, sir. Like,
he's really trying to be somebody he's not, you know?
Yeah.
He seems like he's playing a character. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
No, I know Anthony Michael Hall is, but he's like...
Right, no, but like the character Farmer Ted or the geek or like whatever he gets called, like he doesn't even have a definitive identity. So it's like, yeah, there are some nuggets of good ideas or good critiques. If John Hughes really wanted to like critique like fragile masculinity and the way that like men are expected to behave certain ways, like he really could have done that. But I think the problem with Anthony Michael Hall's character is that they don't really frame him as like a threat or something that needs to be fixed. He's more just kind of like a nuisance, but that's also like, haha, he's so wacky and funny and actually harmless, where it's like he has a lot of actions that contribute a lot of harm that aren't necessarily seen on screen, but it's like the consequences of his actions and of the real world, like Farmer Ted's, are very real.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely a fair sentiment. I think that's also echoed in the auto shop scene that follows right after.
You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too.
Don't do that, okay?
Hey, June.
Just stop it, okay? I mean, it's really been a shitty birthday for me. No offense, but I don't need a serenade right now.
What's wrong? You didn't get anything good, or?
I didn't get shit. Not even a happy birthday. My whole family just sort of blew it off.
I'd freak if my family forgot my birthday.
It's a brand new year. I'm 16. Everything should be platinum. I should be happy, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, I can't get happy. It is physically impossible for me to get happy.
Would you feel better if you knew one of my secrets, or?
Don't gross me out.
No, we're not talking gross here. No, it's just embarrassing. This information cannot leave this room, okay? It would devastate my reputation as a dude.
No problem.
I've never bagged a babe. I'm not a stud. I got the rep in sixth grade, and it like, I don't know, it stuck with me. I'm still on hold. Look, and I appreciate you not laughing at me, okay?
I'm sorry.
It's not what I meant. I meant...
Hey!
Oh, Junior! Pardon me.
It's okay. I meant that it's okay that you did it once, but I didn't mean for you to do it again.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
You know, just now I really felt how much you like me.
You're probably zoning in on my brainwaves or something.
Well, not really. I felt it on my leg. Come on, I don't want to see it. Oh. Sorry if I embarrassed you.
I'm not embarrassed. Fresh breath's priority in my life.
Because they,
boy,
actually
that
have
scene.
They actually have a really nice, like, heart-to-heart talk, and then he's like, he freaking is gross with her.
Yeah, you know? Well, yeah, like, it was, that scene was, like, a little flames on the side of my face, because, like, I appreciated the heart-to-heart, but then by doing that and immediately going to, like, him trying to, like, straddle her and, like, making a boner joke, and then, like, she apologizes to him, which is something that stuck out to me, where she's like, sorry if I embarrassed you. I was like, ooh, no. Like, that just really undercut a lot of the goodwill that, like, it initially established. I mean, in some ways, like, yeah, you could probably argue that, like, she, like, would give him her underwear because, you know, she's an emotionally caring person and he's been, like, kind of manipulating her with, like, his whole, like, oh, like, I'm so pathetic thing. Like I'm not judging her for doing that, but I'm more just kind of like, you know, what is this? Like, what's the message you're trying to say with this? Like, how is it funny? You know, like, what is the actual point of this? Because to me, like, I don't think movies need to teach moral lessons, but when it's like, you know, something about like a high school girl's experience, I'm like, well, why are we doing this scene? Like, what the fuck is this? You know, because that underwear scene was just like so cringy, and straight people are terrible is my other note for that.
To recap, I mean, he says he's gonna like get with her or whatever, and the guys want proof, which is another thing.
Yeah, that's like, and a whole
they're like
whole
underwear
thesis.
Ladies underwear. And, you know, then he kind of tells her and she, as a nice gesture, gives it to him. And then he ends up charging, like, the nerds of the school to go into the bathroom and see it. Which, frankly, I don't really understand the appeal. Because, like, you can go into, like, a store and see ladies' underwear.
Right. Like, yeah, like, I don't get it. And like, there was something too that was just like a really, like, really, like, quick moment that stuck out to me, like, in that general montage, but like when Sam goes to flirt with Jake, that like they just kind of stare at each other and then she like goes away, and like that's super accurate where I'm like, oh my god, that is high school flirting where you just kind of like stare at someone you think is pretty and you're like, and then run away. But like, there was a dude who like picks up a woman when like Jake's girlfriend is like, oh, let's go to this party. Like, he like picks up a woman and carries her off screen, and I was like, whoa there, like, what? yeah, it was like this like extra dude. It was such like a blip moment. I mean, that seems to be like a weird motif coming up, spoiler alerts, in this film. Like, there are just so many like tiny little things that like I'll try to pull back a little bit, but like there's a lot in this film. This is like a film that you could write so many a thesis paper about. Like, I'm surprised.
So
that
many,
like,
I'm sure.
I mean, Judith Butler could write a really interesting piece on masculinity from this whole thing. So
now, a couple like things I wanted to mention too. This is, of course, you know, I don't want to say the first meet, but Jake Ryan and Farmer Ted kind of bump into each other, and Jake Ryan, I don't think he's very bright of a guy, because
he
got a note that clearly said that she was into him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, you 100% go off that. And then he, like, sees them talking, and he's like, ooh, maybe that's her boyfriend, you know, like.
Yeah, no, he really, I mean, beyond the fact that, like, he looks like he's 30, which doesn't really help him in this case of high school, of, like, everyone else looks like the accurate range. So I'm like, what did he do to get held back for so long? You know, is this, like, a Drew Barrymore 51st date situation that everyone just has to lie to him and tell him he's 16 because of a terrible skiing accident? Like, you know, I don't know. But yeah, he really, really doesn't seem that smart. And he's got his looks going for him, I guess, but beauty fades, so.
Oh, the other thing I was going to mention is that Long Duk Dong gets a lady friend, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, because, like, again, like, I don't trust the intentions behind the setup of this joke, where I'm just like, okay, like, she's this tall, like, sports lady, and, like, you know, he's, like, basically pressed into her boob, and I'm like, cool, so, like, you know, I think, like, personally, I think the whole, like, height standard shit that, like, men are subjected to is pretty stupid, where I'm just like, okay. But yeah, that was like uncomfortable, but also with the middle name too, because middle names aren't common in China, so I'm like, what is this? When she's like asking his name and she's just kind of like, huh, because I feel like that would be my reaction too if like I met an Asian person and they're like, my name's Long Duk Dong. I'd be like, oh, oh, did you choose that name? Like, what?
I always thought when I watched this that she was a teacher.
Yeah.
Because she didn't really look like a student, and I know a lot of people don't. And then I was like, wow, that's weird. But yeah. Upon further research, she's just supposed to be like the jock girl.
Right. Which, like, you know, I mean, again, if it was like a better, like a more nuanced director, like, I would be all for this, like, jock lady, like, Asian dude pairing, be like, yes, get it, girl, you know. But with this, I was just like, what is this, Mr. Hughes? Like, what are you doing?
And you know, today it distracts from, like, the main heart of the story, like a lot of things do. I think our next big scene probably is the party.
Yeah.
What does Sam do? She just goes home?
Yeah, she just goes home, which, like, honestly, I appreciate that accuracy. Because, like, you know, I feel like that was an emotionally true response for, like, the character that they set up. And, like, as someone who didn't necessarily relate to Sam at the time, but, like, looking at this now, I could see, like, oh, yeah, I definitely did that in high school. If I, like, you know, went to a dance and was disappointed, I, like, went straight home and was just like, nope, done. Did not go to the cool kids party. So, like, I appreciate that she just, like, took that self-care. Where it was like, cool. But that party, though, was... that was a mess.
Yeah, you're right, though. She does go home, and that's when the dad has, like, the sweet dad speech. Except for the fact that he thinks she's talking about, like, the sisters.
What's the matter?
I meant Jake.
Jake? Wait a minute. I thought she said his name was Rudy.
Forget it.
Forget what? Who's Jake?
He's a boy, Daddy. It's nothing. Okay? Just forget it, please.
Come on, Sam. We're not communicating.
It's extremely embarrassing, okay?
What's embarrassing?
Sitting in the dark with your dad, telling him about your love life.
I'm afraid you lost me again, Sam.
Jake is a senior, and he's beautiful and perfect. I like him a real lot, and he doesn't like me, okay?
Oh.
And he's got this incredible girlfriend. I'm just this ridiculous dork that's following him around like a puppy.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork. I don't think Mom thinks you're a dork.
Mike thinks I'm a dork.
Mike is a dork.
Well, so am I.
Well, if it's any consolation, I love you. And if this guy can't see in you all the beautiful and wonderful things that I see, then he's got the problem.
I know. It just hurts.
That's why they call them crushes. If they were easy, they call them something else.
Yeah, but if I were Jenny, I'd have this guy crawling on his knees.
Well, let me tell you something about Jenny. I love her as much as I love you, but she's a different person. Sometimes I worry about her. You know, when you're given things kind of easily, you don't always appreciate them. With you, I'm not worried. When it happens to you, Samantha, it'll be forever. Well, I don't think I'll be able to sleep if I don't feel this little talk has helped you. So would you be a sport and lie to me?
Yeah, sure, Daddy.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night.
Oh, one more thing, sweetheart.
What?
When you do find the right guy, don't let him boss you around. Make sure he knows you wear the pants in the family.
Yeah, I mean, the sister is she's a mess too, where I'm just like, oh man. But she's also, like, not the high, like, she's not in the hierarchy of, like, top 5 to 10 messes. Like, she's just a mess, where I'm
she's
like,
just,
okay.
She's just, like, a very selfish person. We see at some point that, like, the parents go to dinner with
her. Oh, yeah.
Well, first of all, her fiancé is terrible, but I think we're supposed to think he's terrible. But, okay, so here's something I don't understand. I forgot their last name. Like, something like...
Baker.
The Rice Check. The Rice Checks. But they really play them off as, like... They play the Godfather theme and they imply that they're in the mafia and like they're Italian. But their last name is Ricecek, and I'm like, oh, John Hughes, did you not want to offend the Italians? You'll offend everybody else.
Apparently not, which is confusing. Because, like, that's such a choice.
I was like, that's interesting. But, I mean, I got to talk quickly before we get to the party about, like, the dad speech. He does apologize, and it is, like, a sweet moment, and he does say some very nice things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just typical nice dad things. I mean, when I say typical, I'm not like my dad said those things.
Right.
I should say, like, movie dad things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did have a good movie dad speech, you know, and, like, the crush line. I'm like, yep, that's, like, very movie dad. Like.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I thought it was a good line. And I remember, you know, almost being envious. Like, I wish I got a speech like that one day, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
But the crazy party is, like, Jake Ryan is clearly also rich, and and the popular kids throw a party at his house. They get really drunk. What's her name? Caroline? Is it Caroline?
I think it's Carolyn. I don't know.
Carolyn. Yeah. Jake and Carolyn get into a little fight, because Jake's been, like, repeatedly calling Molly Ringwald's... Oh,
right,
sorry,
Sam, I know.
Sam's house, and it's before she got home. She's not home. The grandparents answer. This kind of funny moment there. But then Carolyn gets her hair stuck in the door.
Yeah, oh god. Just another case file, or piece of evidence to add to the case file that Jake Ryan is an idiot and just, like, does not deserve your fictional crushes. Is like, his girlfriend is, like, perfectly lovely, like, just being like, okay, you just really want to bang a 16-year-old because you found a note that said that she wants to do you, so, like, don't pretend that you're like, oh my god, like, I just want someone who's gonna love me. I'm like, you little bitch. Like, you just found a hot redhead who wants to have sex with you, and she's 16. And, like, you know, I mean, it would be a different movie if, like, he just admitted that, because it's not like they've had a conversation or, like...
No, and that's the thing.
And
right?
That's, like, the thing. And,
he's,
like,
projecting a lot of things on her that, yeah, honestly, she happens to seem like she's a nice person, so
right,
he happens to be right, but he doesn't necessarily know that.
Oh, yeah. I get, you know, like maybe their relationship was, like, on the rocks, like, before Sam's in the picture, but also, like, his reasoning for being like, oh, I'm just not interested in my hot blonde girlfriend anymore because she likes to party and is selfish. I'm like, you like to party and you're selfish. And, like, later I think he says something stupid, like, you know, being like, oh, you know, she trashed my house. I'm like, oh, she did? Just her? Like, and all she wanted to do, like, again, very, like, emotionally healthy response on her side was, like, she noticed he was acting weird. All she wanted to do was talk to him. Like, was she in the best, like, sober mind too? No, but, like, you know, you couldn't have had, like, a nice, like, a conversation of being like, hey, I'm not feeling it anymore, so sorry. Like, you know, instead of just being absolute fuckboy, trapping her hair in your door. And, like, that just, like, oh, but man.
But I have to say, like, as shitty as that is, it kind of did remind me of a lot of high school relationships I saw, where, like, a guy and a girl would, right, get together, and they would act like they were going to be together forever.
Yeah.
And then almost they shouldn't be with each other because they clearly don't really like each other, even though they're like, oh, I love you, everything, blah, 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 you know? But they're monsters, especially, I'm saying in this
point, yeah,
Jake is to her. And it's like, you know, just fast-forwarding a little, they kind of have that conversation later when they break up, like, you know, this doesn't have to be forever. And that's so true. I wish they came to that conclusion earlier. But,
I do too, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. And of course, there's that, they have to cut a large chunk of her hair.
Yeah, that's the one time that, like, usually, and this is a fact, I'm just gonna say this, drunk girls are angels. Where I'm like, we should protect all the drunk girls out there. like, for the most part. You know, they're all angels. Where I'm like, ooh, they failed you, girl. They cut your hair. Like, they were real reckless with that. I was very concerned. Not just, like, from, like, a full vanity perspective. Because that was an awkward positioning to, like, have her hair. I'm sure it hurt, too. Where it was like, damn. Like, she has, like... her hair, like, hair hurts when it gets stuck in a door. Like, that's not just, like, chilling, being like, oh, whatever, my hair is stuck in a door. Like, that shit hurts. So I'm like, I felt really bad for her with that, where I'm like, oh, now you got, you know, like, drunk girl wearing fur coat coming at you with scissors. Like, and your boyfriend is, like, in the other room, like, just ignoring you, probably talking to someone else. Like, rough. Real rough. I mean, I wish that her night got better from there, but it really doesn't. I will say that just for, this is, like, the only positive I have for this scene, and I shit you not, it really is the only positive, that the cinematography of Anthony Michael Hall hiding under the glass coffee table is amazing. Like, that is just so technically beautiful that I was like, that is great. But everything else, content-wise, is trash.
I don't know. I don't know how he got down there and or why he couldn't get out. But that was pretty. That was pretty cool.
It was, yeah.
So then they have this conversation. Everyone's out of the party, and it's just Jake Ryan and Farmer Ted. And at some points of the conversation, it's really like great. Like, oh, she's a great girl. You know, I had a conversation with her. She really likes you. And then other points, it's like, Jake Ryan's like, I would beat you up at some point, you know? Like,
well, there's so many. This is why, like, just Jake Ryan is also in the same vein as, like, a Brett Kavanaugh, where I'm like, or like a Silicon Valley bro, where, like, they have this whole exchange where, like, both the women they're talking about aren't people to them, and, like, Jake Ryan's like, oh, I could, like, violate her 10 times, like, I can bang anyone I want, and I'm like, she's unconscious on my bed, and I'm like, holy fucking that,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's the troubling line, and I wrote it
holy
down,
fucking shit. Like,
I got Caroline passed out cold. I could violate her 10 different ways if I wanted to. And then he's like, but I don't want to do that. It's like, oh, you're such a nice guy.
Right? Well, that's the thing of, like, they frame this conversation as likable, of being like, oh, it's just boys being boys. Them little rapscallions are good dudes with hearts of gold, and they deserve to make out with hot ladies. And I'm sure that there are Silicon Valley bros and, like, Brett Kavanaugh who's, like, seen this and been like, yeah, I deserve the same things that these two do. And, like, this is totally, like, I want to be Jake Ryan. And it's like, no, don't be Jake Ryan. The bar is so low. The fact that he didn't, like, assault his girlfriend, but also passed her off to be assaulted. Like, that's, like, holy shit, that is not even clearing the lowest bar that you could possibly clear.
Yeah, this is a difficult part of the movie.
Yeah.
They kind of make, I don't want to call it a deal, but he's like, be a nice guy, take her home, like, pass that. It's like, just, you know, let her, like, leave her be there. She just, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's kind of like a trade, if you will, and he can't drive stick, so he gives him his father's Rolls Royce, and I guess it's just driving home, but they end up not making home. Now, okay, not only did you say take advantage of my passed out girlfriend, but you also send a kid who's very obviously drunk to drive her, so it's like,
right, yeah,
if you guys make it home, you know, like, great. If not, she'll be dead anyway because you've killed her. Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, holy shit. And, like, his whole, like the lines with, like, her being kind of out of it, being like, who's this? And he's like, that's me. And then, like, who are you? I'm him. I'm just like, wow. Like, I don't know if that was supposed to be, like, for comedy and being like, ha ha ha, like, these tricksters, these lovable jokesters, like, you know, I was just like, wow, that's really disturbing. Like, she was not in any sort of place to, like, consent to being put into a car and, like, should have most definitely, like, stayed somewhere with, like, a blanket and been like, stay here. Don't go in a car, you know. Because, yeah, that whole thing. I mean, I will say, she just deserves so much better. Like, I appreciate that they were incompetent in, like, making her, like, the villain. Where I'm like, good, she's not the villain in this. Like, because I think it would have been really easy to be like, haha, like, she's a pretty popular girl and is mean. And, like, the fact that she gives Anthony, like, Farmer Ted a birth control pill and he freaks out is hilarious to me, just for his reaction and her just not giving a fuck, where I'm like, that's great. Like, she's a delight and deserves so much better than Jake Ryan, who just is like, has no concern for her life. And then like Anthony Michael Hall, who's like, I'm just gonna take Polaroids of you, and like that like weird shot of her underwear where it was like, ew, why? Why would we do this? Like, just save her. Damn. She and Molly and Long Duck Dong deserve so much better than this shit town filled with shit people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Woo. Yeah. Like,
I mean, at least we move on to the next day, really, though.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, we get, like, Farmer Ted breaking the fourth wall briefly at some point, but
I mean, I feel like I honestly just like I might have rage checked out a little bit after like that whole scene of just being like, nope.
Before the morning, though, there's again the whole thing with his friends like wanting to take a picture, which is terrible, but I have to say I do always laugh at the line when John Cusack is like, you know, this would look so much better in black and white. It would really capture the moment.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, that's a great line.
It's terrible what's happening.
It's so just terrible. But like,
but
that's...
It's a funny line.
It's a funny line because it's also like, I've definitely met like guys like that who are like very into like film and photography. And like, I can picture that so clearly where it was like, ah, oh, yeah. Yeah, that is 100% accurate, but also terrible in the context, and, like, I hate that, like, that scene even exists in a movie, like, in this movie especially, because, like, I don't think there's really any justification for it to exist. Well,
but
like,
it's good, though, that they don't actually end up getting the picture.
Yeah, no, I'm happy about that. Like, that was good. Like, I know that's like part of the comedy and the trope about being like, haha, like they're so incompetent they couldn't even like, you know, sexually harass a woman, right? Like, or I'm like, cool. But yeah, I mean, just the implications are very disturbing, like.
Oh yeah. Very disturbing. But then, you know, next morning, like, we get the Bowie Young Americans thing, which, again, this is a good soundtrack.
It is.
It's an awesome song, obviously. We mentioned the mom apologizing to Long Duck Dong's passed out on the lawn.
Yeah.
But good for him. He had a fun night.
He did have a fun night. I mean, he sold the shit out of that terrible line of, like, no more hanky at my Yankee, it's time for food, where I'm like, that line is terrible. I'm so sorry you had to say that, but, like, I'm proud you had such a good night. And, I mean, this is why, like, I just want there... Like, I wish that there was, like, a movie, like, either about him or, like, this specifically. Because there's, like, he starts from wearing, like, an Argyle sweater to, like, ending up in a kimono. He, like, definitely ran over a white person at the party. He, like, most certainly got laid and, like, you know, just drank and had, like, such a fun night where I'm just like, where's your story? I don't give a fuck about, like, you know, Jake Ryan. Like, what about you, buddy? Like, how are you? And, like, couldn't there be a film about you that's nuanced and, like, I mean, at this time, no. Like, I would not trust John Hughes to write a movie entirely about Long Duck Dong, if that is not clear at all.
When did Jake Ryan punch him?
I don't know. I mean, I missed that, too.
Because doesn't he say that, like, when... So they're all heading to the wedding, right? And Jake Ryan comes to the door.
He has the weirdest bruise makeup I've ever seen. because it like has like kind of like a squiggly line around his eye, and I just don't know if bruises work like that, where I'm like, just what is this? Like, maybe they do, maybe I don't understand bruises, but like, I just don't know like what object made him have little like sort of like those comic books like pow, you know, like, you know those shapes, because it was kind of like that, just a little bit.
It was just a very forgettable punch because I don't remember it happening, but
yeah,
they're all, you know, they're all rushing to the wedding, they're getting ready. It seems to be better because everyone knows it was Sam's birthday now, and while she's bummed out, I think she's a little distracted because her sister is on some kind of drugs or medication.
Yeah, I mean, they said muscle relaxer, so it was like, interesting. I don't know if they meant like, you know, some sort of like codeine like drug, or like, you know, like what kind of drug was a muscle relaxer, and like being like, what gets you that fucked up? Because she was trashed. Like, they probably should have like been like, hey, let's postpone this by like a day, you know, just something, or like a few hours, let her like sleep it off, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I whatever, I mean, but they you know, they're rushing to the wedding, but Jake is like, I gotta find her. He gets there, Long Duk Dong kind of confuses him, we'll say, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, you know, they also, as we mentioned, they like, Jake and Carolyn break up. But Ted and her have this weird conversation. Like,
oh, I hated that conversation
much. I think I enjoyed it, even though I don't remember anything.
Yeah, like, it's very accurate, like, with his, like, the fact that he asked if he enjoyed it before asking if she did. I'm like, wow, that's super accurate. Like, holy shit, right in line with your, like, you know, piece of shit charactering. But, like, the fact that she's like, oh, I don't know, but I had a feeling I did. I was like, oh, no, like, this is so awful. And it's just one of those, like, moments that you kind of need to follow up with just like dog videos on YouTube and Instagram and being like, I'm just gonna look at a bulldog like trying to jump into a pool, and he did it, yay, you know, like that's that whole conversation, because it's such a weird message. Like, yeah, I don't even know. Like,
I think it's a little sloppy because, well, yeah, for obvious reasons, but also I think what he was trying to do was give resolution to Farmer Ted that was like, hey, he gets the girl and she's also happy too because they're both not that bad of people. But I think it's a little bit.
Yeah, I think he didn't know who, like, Farmer Ted was. Because if it was, like, you know, like, I could see if there was some sort of, like, you know, it was John Cusack's character, and, like, someone talked to him about being like, hey, buddy, I'm really glad that you love film, but, like, assaulting women's real bad, so maybe don't do that. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, totally. And, like, reforms. This is a terrible screenplay, by the way. But just, you know, something like that, where it's like there's no redemption. Because even, I'm thinking of, like this scene, unfortunately, because I think it's like, this is such a classic movie, like this entire setup is not uncommon in like films, especially like teen films about like boys who just want to get laid because they're virgins, like, you know, that the low bar they have to clear is that they didn't rape the really drunk girl. And, like, then she rewards them with being like, well, you didn't rape me, so let's make out. Like, which, you know, is so troubling and upsetting on multiple levels. But, yeah, the fact that, like, it's not like he learned to treat her better through the course of the movie, or, like, Sam better. Like, he learned jack shit and just, like, gets to make out with this, like, really fun, pretty blonde girl that he most definitely assaulted, where I was like, the fuck? Movie? You know? This is supposed to be, like, about the experience, like, I think what's, I was gonna say, it's supposed to be about the experience of a 16-year-old girl, and in some ways, like, it is, which is, I think, the most disturbing thing about this film, is, like, that all of the sexism and, like, misogyny, like, in the film from, like, the National Lampoon style, like, John Hughes Boys Club, like, that is what being a 16-year-old girl is like. So that's just really depressing, where I'm like, ooh. Whew, no. And, like, the ending's not that great either. Where I'm like, no. None of this movie.
Yeah, I guess that kind of leaves us with Farmer Ted. By the way, he's known as Farmer Ted, which confused a lot of people, but it came from... Apparently his real name is Ted Farmer.
Mm.
But you know how the teacher calls your name, like, O'Connell, Jenny, yeah, you know? Or Jennifer, I guess they would say, probably, if they were doing it officially. But
officially, yeah, yeah.
And apparently, like, in the world that John Hughes was building, they would say, like, Farmer Ted, and then people just called him Farmer Ted because of the profession. But I remember being very confused.
Watching, yeah.
I'm like, how is he a farmer? I know it's the Midwest and everything.
Right? Or, like, are they saying farmers are, like, creepy baby rapists? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that was confusing and terrible and just like, yeah, I mean, I know the ending's like iconic because it, you know, there's like, she's like working the fuck out of this pretty, like, ugly dress, but, like, she looks really pretty, where you're like,
which is funny, because she was like, I can't fill this out, and it's not, I don't want to say it's funny, because, like, I get it, like, I mean, I don't get it, I wasn't a teenage girl, so I can't say that, but, I understand, like, that she might not think that, but, and I'm not checking out a 15-year-old, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But she looks like, she's, like you said, she's rocking it, something that she should not, that no one possibly could rock, she's doing it. So go Molly Ringwald, you know?
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's, like, just there, you know, with the car, and, like, she goes with him. And her dad, like, is sort of like, hey, where are you going? But she's like, oh, it's Jake Ryan, or, like, mouths that at him. And he's like, okay, I guess. Where I'm just like, wow, parenting. Maybe that's why I, like, also just slightly, like, the mother at least was, like, preoccupied, where I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
She didn't see this, like, but he did. And, like, it would have been a more, like, way less romantic, but more responsible parent move to be like, let me say hi to him and, like, be like, hey, like, who are you? You're 30? Jake Ryan? Oh, okay. You dumb. Great.
Yeah. Like, you know, obviously, like, the wedding goes terribly. That's where we get our lady from Poltergeist and Teen Witch.
Oh, yeah, where she says the most relatable line after watching this movie, where she's just like, I really need a drink. And I'm like, me too, Carol. Like, me too. Oh, God.
Yeah, and as you said, she's walking out, and we get, which, a song I actually really like, Thompson Twins, If You Were Here.
Yeah.
And as shitty as it is when you analyze it, it is an iconic moment. He has his cool car, Jake Ryan. He has his tucked in shirts, and he's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, who? Like, there's just a lot of mouthing, like, hey, you, me?
Right?
Yeah, like, who, me? Yeah. And, like, I think the conversation they kind of have is accurate. Like, it's like, hi, hey. Hi, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of a lot of, like, teenage conversations, or, like, even me being a teenager.
Oh, that, absolutely. Like, that part is so accurate. I've, like, definitely had interactions with, like, past crushes that were like that, where there's so much emphasis placed on, like, how'd you say hey? And being like, ooh, hey, hey.
It reminds me of that scene that I think is really good, where it's just like Molly Ringwald, and she's trying to figure out ways earlier in the film, where she's trying to figure out like how to say hello to him.
And
she's
like,
I had the strangest dream, and you were in it. Like there was like a couple of them like that. Which, as silly as it is, that's totally, like, I don't know if you would say it out loud, but that's totally how teenagers think when talk about their crush, like.
that's a thing of, like, I think that's what also disappoints me about this, is, like, there's so many nuggets of, like, I guess, lighthearted but still heartfelt teen moments that it's like, that's what I wanted, you know? Like, not the whole, like, rape culture, racism, like permeating this shit. I'm like, I wanted to see a cute film about, like, you know, a sassy, like, teenage girl figuring shit out and, like, you know, dealing with a hard day. But, oh, look, he, like, she talks to her crush and, like, it's cute because he's not a rapist, like, you know, or, like, not rapist, but, like, at least, like, accomplice, where I'm like, you are an accomplice, sir. Like, and the fact about that, like, that line he said earlier, I'm like, that's where your mind went? I don't trust you. Like, he definitely, where, like, Farmer Ted could absolutely grow up to having, like, a skin lamp or, like, a suitcase made out of skins. Like, I think Jake Ryan's too stupid to be able to pull it off, but he would have definitely at least, like, murdered a lady, like, at some point, you know? Like, probably on a yacht, like, just out at sea.
I could definitely see, though, why people at the time, and even people still today, connected with this film and enjoy it, because, it, like you said, it does have those nuggets. And I feel like if you strip those down, there is a good movie here, and there is a good story. Like American Pie, right? If you strip down, like, the sex and all the other kind of stuff like that, it's not that good of, I mean, you know, you could argue it's not that good of a movie anyway, but if you strip that off American Pie, there's almost no movie left, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With this, there is at least, like, an interesting movie underneath the surface of all of that.
And I think most people's favorite parts are not, like, no one's like, I love 16 Candles because Long Duck Dong, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, I love 16 Candles because of how rapey it gets, you know, like, well, I hope
I really hope not. I mean,
have you ever heard someone say, I love 16 Candles because that girl's hot in the shower, you know?
Like, no, at least that's like small consolation prizes where I'm like, good, you weren't like that terrible movie because you at least had like parts that were really good. So, like, I did not like this movie, but I can at least acknowledge, like, the parts that worked really well.
I always enjoy watching 16 Candles. It's just a shame to me that it is so, like, there's just so much cringeworthy moments. Like, okay, The Breakfast Club, same writer, you know, he wrote it before this. Cringeworthy moments, yes, because Bender's a monster, and there's an unnecessary upskirt shot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's less than 16 Candles. And Ferris Bueller has even less moments like this. And it's just a shame that, like, 16 Candles does honestly have so much heart.
Yeah.
And it has so much cringeworthy stuff. Now, you know, before we rate it, though, there is that final shot that is, like, in the top three most iconic shots in all teen films, maybe. It's just like them with the cake. I read in IMDb trivia that that's actually a cardboard cake. Because the cake was melting. Yeah. I was like, oh, that kind of takes it away from me. I think it's,
yeah, a little bit.
I think it's funny, like, if you want to overanalyze, it's not her birthday anymore.
Yeah.
Are they at his house?
I mean, it looked like his house.
And he must have cleaned up very nice. Unless she's like,
yeah.
I hope he wasn't like, hey, for your birthday, can you come over and clean up my house?
I know. Well, because, like, yeah, the thing I was thinking of was, like, you know, the wedding reception, it's like they get out of the wedding to go to the reception in the afternoon, you know, at some point. So it's like, it's still daylight. Being like, okay. What did y'all do? Like, I mean, because I guess they could have bought the cake, where I'm just like, all right, like, they so you go and you buy house. A cake. They cleaned a house? Like, your house was trashed, sir. And, like, they're not going back to, like, her house. And then, like, you know, I mean, yeah, just what's going on? I'm assuming he doesn't really have very attentive parents. I mean, admittedly, that's something that I tend to look for in teen movies, because I had very attentive parents. Like, I could not get away with shit. So I was just like, okay, like, where the fuck is your mom who's gonna, like, you know, ground the fuck out of you? Because, like, you destroyed that house. That house had, like, soap coming out of a vent, and, like, pizza everywhere, and, like, Anthony Michael Hall hiding underneath a coffee table. Like, it was wrecked. So, like, yeah, it's a lot of questions. And I know it's one of those, like, iconic shots that you're supposed to kind of, like, just be like, shh, turn off the, like, the part of your brain asking all those questions and being like, oh, he's making up a birthday to her, and, like, there are 16 candles, and make a wish, it already came true, kiss, you know, like, but I guess I just am not the demo, I'm not the target, I wasn't even really the target in high school. Because I can see on paper how it's sweet, but also, like, it is iconic. It is, like, a really well done last shot. I will give it that. And, but yeah, kind of like
helps.
It's
the music definitely.
The music
helps
like so much. Yeah, I think it is kind of like finding out that the cake is made out of cardboard. Like, I feel like that's a really fitting, like, metaphor of this movie, that it's like this shiny, pretty cake, but it's made of cardboard, and you're like, aww, when I think about this, no.
Okay, so then, what should we rate 16 Candles on? Candles?
Candles is pretty, like, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, Jake Ryan is just such a, I know, he's just such an idiot, and not even, like, in a lovable, like, sort of, like, you're a stupid puppy kind of way. I'm like, no, he's an idiot monster. I'm like, a hot idiot, but an idiot monster.
We usually rank 1 out of 5, but it is the birthday episode, and it is called 16 Candles, so it's gonna be a weird scale. But how many candles are you putting on the birthday cake between 1 and 16?
Okay, this is going to be a weird scale. And, like, follow me for this journey, I guess, if you want. If you don't want to follow me for this journey, I totally get it. But I'm going to start out with, like, you know, maybe, like, 10 candles. But then I'm going to rage, like, pick out 5 candles, so it's like, you know, now it's down to 5. I'm gonna maybe, like, put back 1 because I'm like, oh, but that soundtrack, but then I'm gonna take out another 1, so I guess it leaves it down to, like, 4 out of 16 for me. Just because, like, I can't deal with the like racism, misogyny, assault, rape culture, like, all of that is far too much. So 4 out of 16, and there's, like, my handprint inside the cake just being like, fuck you. I grabbed out the candles, because if it was just a cute movie about a nice girl who has a crush and goes to dance and meets a nice boy, I'd be like, there we go, that's, you know, that's a cute movie, great. But no, this was not that movie. So, 4 out of 16?
I think people today have positively been inspired by this film for both what to do and what not to do. Like, especially, again, I'm going to cite To All the Boys I Loved Before again.
Yeah.
Now, I think I gave To All the Boys I Loved Before a 5. So, theoretically, it's along the same lines. Like, the good parts of that happened in that film. So, theoretically, I should give this, like, a 16 or a 15, but I have to take a lot of candles away, like you said. So, I'm going to give it an, let's see, I'm going to give it
a 9. I'm going to put 9 candles okay. on this cake.
Okay.
I was going to give it an 8, but, you know, I'll give it one more candle above average. This could be, you know, I watch a lot of these films and I see what works and doesn't work. This could be a perfect film, but it has so many candle offenses. I think I'm being generous by giving it 9. I know some people might give it more, some people might give it less, but yeah, you know,
I am evidently one of those people that gives it less.
But 4, like, you know, 4 is better than 0. It's fine.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, it would have gotten a 9 or a 10 if, like, it did not have all the problematic elements, but here we are, you know? I just, like, I mean, that's probably a reason I'm very, like, hesitant to go back to some of the films that, like, I've seen in high school that were from the 80s or, like, you know, even, like, 90s. Like, it's interesting what pops out as these things that, like, are pervasive within our culture, but we somehow had habits of just pretending like, or not, by we I mean society. Society would like to be like, oh, this isn't an issue. Like, what are you talking about? You know? Where it's like, no shit, racism, misogyny, assault, like, have all existed. But like, the fact that at least now I'm happy that we're able to have conversations about it and be like, no, this is harmful. And like, we really need to be like more critical when consuming and writing media and like, you know, not perpetuate all of the things that are problematic that tend to be like, oh, but it's for comedy, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I ask this question every week. What sleeping bag would you bring to a slumber party? 16 candles themed.
Ooh, 16 candles themed. That's actually really tough. Because, like, I mean, I know that, like, immediate reaction just based off of rage is, like, a very, like, Dennis, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, being like, I would make a sleeping bag out of Jake Ryan and Anthony Michael Hall's skin. But I'm like, no. You know, I think I would go for, like, a little, I guess a little bit more of an elaborate thing. I would like to make a Pinterest-worthy blanket fort with, like, little fairy lights and soft pillows. And, like, I'd like to have it be big enough for, like, 3 people to, or 4 including me, so it would just be, well, you're here too, so 5. Basically, this is a tent. this is a journey and a tent, but it's, like, a little, like, Pinterest-style tent of, like, comfy pillows and, like, blankets, and, like, so you, me, Long Duck Dong, Molly Ringwald and Carolyn and everyone else would just be shut the fuck out, you know? They'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not invited. Like, you know? So, like, I don't know if that counts as a sleeping bag or, like, what a good 80s sleeping bag would be. Like, I love novelty sleeping bags. Like, it's a shark or a hamburger or something. But, like, I think I'm gonna stick to, like, my cozy, comfy, like, you know, blanket fortress of peace and tranquility.
That works for me. I like that a lot. So, Jenny,
okay, cool.
Where can people follow you? Where can people find you if you so choose?
Oh, man. Well, I'm pretty elusive to find in real life. So, I would say Instagram at jenny.o'connell. And if you just want memes and doggos that I'm like, yes, this is amusing, Jenny and the Bets XO. But yeah, jenny.o'connell is where you can find modeling work and shit. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Sounds good to me. Well, thanks so much, Jenny, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thanks for celebrating my birthday with me and talking about 16 candles.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Again, to be clear, guys, it's not my real birthday. It's the show's birthday, but whatever, you get it. So huge thank you to Jenny O'Connell for making my birthday. I keep saying my birthday.
Because that's what it feels like. This is more important than my life now. Big thank you to Jenny for making our birthday, I should say, the high school slumber party anniversary just that much better. Woo! I feel like I've had way too much mimosas. Anyway, so thank you, Jenny. Can't wait to have her on again. So next week, I'm sorry, guys. I got to give you homework. It's Saturday. I'll give you a pass on getting John Cusack to unblock us on Twitter today. But you're going to have to see another movie. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I have no idea how to tell this story. I don't even know how to start it. This is the story of my senior year of high school and how it destroyed my life.
Your father and I want to talk to you about something sad. Rachel Kushner has been diagnosed with leukemia.
That sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks quite a bit.
You might be someone who could make Rachel feel better.
I don't need your stupid pity.
I'm not here because I pity you. I'm actually here because my mom is making me.
It's actually worse. Everyone was gonna find out sooner or later.
One thing you can do if you don't want to talk to anyone is just enter a subhuman state. Pretend you're someone annoying.
Hi, Rachel. I'm really sorry you have cancer.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So if this was a touching romantic story, our eyes would meet and suddenly we would be furiously making out with the fire of a thousand suns. But this isn't a touching romantic story.
Anyway.
Yep. Who is this little friend?
Earl's just my coworker.
I've known him since kindergarten.
What you got, cat? Wanna fight? Didn't think so, punk-ass cat.
So you and Greg are coworkers?
Nah, we friends. Dude's terrified of calling somebody his friend. Dude's got issues.
But how are you coworkers?
We make films.
Movies?
They're terrible.
Greg, you never told me.
The idea behind each one was, we took a film that we liked, and we made the title stupider, and then made a new film to reflect the new title. It's a formula that only produces horrible films, but for some reason we keep using it.
You need to make a film for Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. I don't really know you, but I believe in you.
I know you're Jewish, but God has a plan for you.
Out of all the people in the school, I don't hate you.
Damn.
You guys were making a movie for me.
We tried a bunch of stuff and it's not that good.
Now's not the time here. I'm Greg. I suck. Nothing I do is any good thing.
We agreed to do a film that we have no idea what it should look like or even be. What was I thinking?
I'm so tired of you treating this girl like she a burden. Because somebody actually cares about you, her life is over after this.
Life can keep unfolding itself to you just as long as you pay attention to it.
It was the best of times. Worst of times.
It's so much harder than I thought it would be.
It was life.
And our guest next week is one of those people who, before this podcast, I didn't know, but now we've become, I would say, awesome friends. Awesome high school film pen pals. She's been on this show before. She's from Australia. Shawnee Mead. So I can't wait to talk to Shawnee next week about Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. By the way, one more note on 16 Candles, and I keep forgetting this, and honestly did not even plan this to be, but it was actually the 35th anniversary for 16 Candles, like a couple days ago, for like, you know, its original release. I was like, wow, good timing. It worked out well the other week, too. I don't know. There's like some kind of karmic, is that a word? Karmic? Cosmic? I think I'm combining things. Anyway, it's some kind of fate, right? Some high school slumber party fate that these movies are coming to my head and we're doing them. It's like, oh yeah, this is the anniversary of this. This is the anniversary of that. Then again, it's always the anniversary of something. It's always like ice cream cone of the month, day or something, whatever. I love it though. It's great. So thank you so much for stopping by. A couple more people I do want to thank, and that's Michael Manzi and Joey Lewandowski, the godfather and I guess the consigliere of the Cage Club Podcast Network, for just putting up with me, putting up with my shit, putting up for me, you know, nearly missing deadlines, I guess technically missing deadlines and still putting my show up, putting up with me just being me and being the difficult person I can be sometimes, I guess, I don't know. No, but I really, really, really do appreciate it. Thank you guys so much, Mike and Joey, and thank all the other people on the network. And the best way that you can thank the people on the Cage Club Podcast Network, my podcast network that I'm so proud to be a part of, is by listening to their shows. As I mentioned, they're wherever you get your podcasts or on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. And the best way you can, you know, wish me a high school slumber party happy birthday, wish this podcast a happy anniversary, is by subscribing, of course, writing a review, leaving a 5-star rating, or, maybe most importantly, telling a friend about High School Slumber Party. Guys, like I said, I can't say it enough. You mean so much to me. I appreciate you guys so, so much. And any way that I can, you know, show my appreciation, let me know via social media, and I'll do it. I owe you guys everything. Again, if you're in the United States, or wherever they're celebrating Mother's Day this weekend, wish your mom a happy Mother's Day. Give her the gift of High School Slumber Party. Moms like it. I've been told a lot of moms like this show. Nostalgia factor. Anyway, thank you guys so much for stopping by. I leave you with, Thompson Twins, If You Were Here. And you know what? Because I didn't play it, just for good measure, I know I've been torn about this film. Sometimes it seems like I hate it. Sometimes it seems like I like it. But it's a classic. I wouldn't be doing this show probably without 16 Candles. I love this ending scene. Later, dudes.
What are you doing here?
I heard you were here.
You came here for me.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Do you have to go to reception now?
I'm supposed to.
Can I call you later?
Sure. I mean, no.
No, I can't call you later?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to reception.
Oh, great.
Thanks for coming to get me.
Happy birthday, Samantha. Good wish.
It already came true.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.